this message entitled The Hosannas of Children from Matthew chapter 21 verses 14 through 17 was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com. If you open in your Bibles with me tonight to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, we're just taking a one-week break here from 1 Corinthians 13, where we've been looking for several weeks at Christian love. We're going to look at a passage this evening that hopefully will have some application to our week ahead. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read this evening, beginning in verse 12 through the 17th verse, but I especially want to draw your attention to what is going on in verses 15, 16, and 17. So please follow along as we take this opportunity to read from God's Word. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there." Well, I feel somewhat compelled this evening to make my preaching suitable to the occasion before us. Tomorrow morning, if the Lord is willing, we will begin our VBS program. And as we have been, and especially some people in this church have been preparing for that for months, we will be endeavoring for the next 5 days throughout this week to shine something of the light of the gospel upon our own children. And if I can say it this evening, perhaps even more importantly, on the children of this community who may never have the advantages and the privileges that our covenant children have. And as we prepare for that program, it would be good for us this evening to reflect for a few minutes on the usefulness of our vacation Bible school, which really is and very closely related to and tied into the usefulness of our outreach. VBS is nothing more, really, in one sense, than our evangelistic outreach to the littlest people in this community where the Lord Himself has placed us. And so I want this evening, as we look forward to these next 5 days, to try to set the tone a little bit by coming to this passage of Scripture. And what we've read, and especially in verses 14 through 17, is really quite the scene. There is something fascinating that is going on here. Jesus, we read, is in the temple. This account happens just perhaps the day after the triumphant entry. Perhaps you remember that that was the first day of the last week of Jesus' life. That finally, after being resolved to go to Jerusalem, knowing that as he goes there, he's going to be crucified, and yet we read in the Gospels that he set his face like flint to go into Jerusalem. And here, the day after, Jesus is found in the temple. And as he's ministering in the temple, we've read in those verses that the blind and the lame are coming to him. And what is he doing? Well, Jesus is doing what he always did. He's healing. Miraculously, by the power of the Spirit, by the omnipotency of God himself, he is giving sight to the blind, and he is causing even the lame to be able to walk. And of course, wherever Jesus went, and in our text this evening is no exception to that, it begins to cause quite a commotion. It begins to cause quite a bit of noise. And very specifically, we read in verse 15 that there are some children in the temple. And what are these children doing? As the blind are being healed, as the lame are being healed, these children, we read in verse 15, are crying out. And that word crying out is really an emphatic word. I don't want you to think that they were just mumbling some words. It is actually the word for shouting. The children are in the temple courts, and what they are doing, they are crying out, they are shouting these words, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And it shouldn't escape your attention that that's exactly, most likely, they learned that from their parents. That just in the verses before this, as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, as he is on that donkey, that is what the people are crying. In verse 9, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." These children have likely learned from their parents what it is to praise and to worship the one who alone comes in the name of the Lord. And yet in the midst of that excitement, and that shouting, and that praise, and that worship, standing over and against that, are these chief priests and these scribes. And I want you to note their attitude. I want you to note their demeanor. I want you to see their words. We read in verse 15, "But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did," the wonderful things that Jesus did, what was their response? Their response was to grow angry. Their response was to grow indignant. We read that in verse 15. These children are crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They were indignant. And again, that's an emphatic word. They're not just a little frustrated. They're not just a little annoyed. They're not just a little angry. But what does it mean to be indignant? If you look it up in the dictionary, to be indignant is to be filled with great affliction to the point that you are in a fit of rage. And that's how these high priests, that is how these scribes are responding to the wonderful things that Jesus is doing, and in particular to the praise of these children. They are indignant. And you can almost hear them sneer. You can almost get a sense of that in the very question that they ask Jesus in verse 16. Do you hear? Do you hear what these are saying? You know, there's still people, isn't there, in the world who are like that. They look upon the littlest of the human race. They look upon children. And they really have very little place and very little concern for them. They have a very low regard for children. That attitude can sometimes enter even into the church and among us. And we think, oh, children are going to be children. You know, they're too young to be saved. They just need to grow up. Maybe when they're a little older, they'll understand these things. Sometimes it's easy for us to brush children aside. They're just noisemakers. Everywhere they go, all they're doing is creating noise. Sometimes it's easy for us to hold them into contempt. They're too eager. They're too zealous. They're not quite intelligent enough to understand the things of God and to understand complex things. Sometimes, and it is a great tragedy when this is the attitude of the church, we regard children as being nothing but a nuisance and an annoyance, and they don't meet our standards of decorum. And that's really the attitude that these chief priests and these scribes are having. Jesus, do you hear them? This is the temple. This is the temple. How can you allow them? How can you tolerate these children saying the things that they are saying? They must be stopped. And how does Jesus respond? And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Yes, I hear them." What a tremendous truth is encapsulated in that single word. Jesus hears children. He hears their worship. He hears them loud and clear. And then Jesus does something that undoubtedly made them even more furious. He defends them. And he does so by the scriptures. "Yes, have you never read?" And he quotes from that 8th Psalm that we read this evening, "Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." You know, the chief priests and the scribes were those who knew the scriptures very well. So when Jesus says that, then naturally their minds are going to turn to that 8th Psalm. And most likely they know exactly what comes after those words. Jesus doesn't quote it, but do you remember as we read those words tonight, what comes afterwards? "Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise to silence your enemies." You see what Jesus is saying, and it's very profound. Jesus is saying, "Yes, I hear them. And they are about my Father's business. I hear them, and they are doing what you ought to be doing. So in all of your complaints, and in all of your ridicule, and in all of your indignation," Jesus is really telling these people, "Silence your mouths." Jesus' own attitude towards worshipful children really shows us what a despicable thing it is to despise worshiping children. And I ask you this evening to give me just a few moments to apply these words to the work that is ahead of us in this week. And the first thing that I want to preach to you tonight from these words is the desire of God. The desire of God. Matthew, in writing this for us, is really showing us two, he is contrasting really two responses to Jesus. Jesus is doing these wondrous things, and there are two responses. There is, on the one hand, the chief priests and the scribes who grow angry and indignant, and they refuse to worship Jesus. And on the other hand, contrasted with that, are these children who are worshiping Jesus. And the very point of Matthew drawing that out for us is to show us, to demonstrate for us, what it is that God wants. And what does God want? God desires worship. That is really, brothers and sisters, the ultimate reason that we exist. Worship is the very reason that all things have been created and brought forth by the power of God's word. God wants to be worshiped. And so the psalmist in Psalm 96:3 says, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples." The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 12, verse 4 says, "Make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted." In Romans chapter 15, verse 9, as the Apostle Paul is talking about how the gospel has now gone forth to the Gentiles, he tells us why it is the gospel has gone forth to the Gentiles. He says in Romans 15, 9, in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. God desires, God wants to be worshipped. That's the ultimate reason for all things. Our shorter catechism in that question and answer that most of you know so well. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And brothers and sisters, if you begin to grasp this as the very meaning of your life and the very reason for your existence, you will come a long way in understanding your life. As the Puritan John Owen once wrote, the great end for which we were made, for which we were brought forth by the power of God into this world, is to worship him. But Matthew's not only showing us that God desires to be worshiped, but in a very particular manner. Matthew is showing us, or rather Jesus is showing us in these words, that God desires to be worshipped, especially by those who are weak, especially by those who are insignificant, especially by those whom the world regards as foolish. Isn't that one of the great principles of the grace of God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks about that God chooses the things that are weak to shame the strong, that God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus says, Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding, and you have revealed them to little children. God not only desires to be worshipped, but in a very, very particular sense, he desires to be worshipped by the weakest and most insignificant. And that really comes out as Jesus quotes this eighth psalm. What does he say? Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. That word prepared is a very interesting word. Quite literally, it means you have strengthened to the point of perfection. Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have strengthened perfect praise. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying that the worship and the praise of little children is perfect praise. It's not always skilled. It's not always in four-part harmony. It's not always with the greatest sense of knowledge and education. It's not through mighty choirs and outstanding vocals. But in the childlike faith that recognizes the marvelous works of the Lord, Hosanna to the Son of David, here we have an example of perfect praise. It's not a display of youthful ignorance, but it is a glorious display of the praise of God in the midst of weakness. And I want just for a second to address especially the children in this church. I want you to know that we value your worship because Jesus values your worship. We value you in our presence, and we long, even as adults, to hear your voices in the praise of Jesus Christ. That's what God desires. He desires worship. But secondly, I want to say something of the failure of sin. The failure of sin. We see that being drawn out in this passage as well, don't we? The failing of sin, or you might think this evening, the tragedy of sin is simply this, that we don't worship God. The tragedy of sin, The ultimate outrage of sin is this, that sin draws us away from the worship of God. That is ultimately the problem with these chief priests and these scribes. They are seeing these wonderful things that Jesus is doing, and yet they themselves remain silent. They themselves are not worshiping Jesus Christ. They are not bringing themselves with these children to shout out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Their problem is they're not worshiping Jesus. And if you begin to understand that, brothers and sisters, you're going to come a long way in understanding the sinfulness of sin. And this is a reality of the fallen world in which we live. The reality is this, that many, 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 countless multitudes of people hold their lips in silence when they ought to be worshiping God. And the greater tragedy of that is that there are children, even here in our own community, in the community of Winchester, who are not worshiping and glorifying God. And that, at the end of the day, is the root of sin's wickedness. Do you remember in Romans chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul sets out to describe the unrighteousness of all who fall short of the glory of God? Where does he begin? He begins here, that though we have a knowledge of God, though God has made himself evident in creation, that we all suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness. And then Paul goes on to say this, this is the tragedy of sin, that we have exchanged the glory of the Creator for creation. That we have exchanged the glory of the Creator, who is God over all and worthy to be blessed. We have exchanged it for the creature. We have exchanged it for the glory of creation, and we worship creation. Creation and all that is in the world is our giant idol. And Paul is saying there is the root of sin. And I want you to know tonight that that applies to children. That children are not immune from this very thing of exchanging the glory of God, of exchanging the glory of the only God for the glory of creation. And that is a reality we need to come to terms with. And if you don't do it, I hope you can do that by tomorrow morning. To realize that there are children in this community who praise and honor and are devoted to and ascribe worth, ultimate worth, to the things of this world. And in doing that, they are robbing God of his glory. The God who said in Isaiah 42, verse 8, "My glory I will not give to another." There are children in this community who are not worshiping God. But they have been taught by their own sinful hearts. They have been taught by society. They have been taught by culture. They have been taught by the world. They have been taught by their community. They have been taught sadly, tragically, horrifically, even to some degree by the church. And they have been taught by their parents to worship entertainment and to worship pleasure. And to worship fun, and to worship sports, and to worship education, and to worship themselves. And in all of this, they have chosen creation over the Creator. And brothers and sisters, that is true of many of the children who will come here tomorrow. It is the failure of sin. They are not worshiping Christ as they ought. And so finally this evening, I want to preach something of the mission of our outreach. Knowing these first two points, the desire of God is that he be worshiped. The failure or the tragedy of sin is that God is not worshiped. So how does that help us understand our place this coming week in this VBS program? How does that help us understand the mission of our outreach? Well, if I can put it in these terms, just very bluntly this evening, our outreach, our evangelistic endeavors, and VBS is a program within that, our outreach exists for one purpose. Our evangelistic endeavors exist for one reason. And that reason, we evangelize because worship does not happen. That is the very reason we are called to go and to reach the nations with the message of Jesus Christ, because people are not worshiping God the way that they should. They are not, as these children are shouting out, "Hosanna to the Son of David," people are not responding to God in that way. And so our only goal, our only aim, in the week ahead, is to bring children to a place where they will worship Him. Jesus heals the blind. Jesus heals the lame so that He might be praised, and even praised by these children in the temple, because He is worthy. Friends, Jesus is worthy to have children shouting and crying out His praises. And that is our single goal. And it shows us the seriousness of what we are doing. Our goal in teaching them, our goal in interacting with them, our goal in helping them to learn the scriptures and to sing praises, is to bring every child that comes through our threshold to worship the Father, to worship the Son, to worship the Holy Spirit. And so I don't want you to underestimate that this evening. We're not just aiming in these next 5 days for a week of fun. We're not just aiming in our VBS program to be attractive. We're not just simply trying to give the moms of the community a 2-hour break each morning so they can unload their children here at the church building. We're not just doing this for something to do. We're not doing this so that we can pat ourselves on the back and check something off of a list as if we've done something great. We're not even doing this simply so that we can build relationships with the community. Brothers and sisters, we are doing this to bring children into contact with God, that they might worship Him. We are doing this to bring children into contact with the Word of God so that they can worship Him. We are doing this to bring children into contact with the truth of God so they can worship Him. We are doing this to bring children into contact with the promises of God that they might worship Him. We are doing this. We are doing this to bring these children into contact with the gospel of God so they can worship Him. We are doing it to bring them into contact with the hope of God that they might worship Him. We are doing it to bring them into contact with the forgiveness of God that they might worship Him. Brothers and sisters, what we are doing in these next 5 days is seeking to bring these children into contact with the glory of God in all things, that they might worship Him. That's the point of the next 5 days. That is the aim, and that is the goal. And I want that before our minds as these parents drop the littlest in our community off. I want this in your minds as you sing songs with them. I want this in your minds as you work on scripture memory with them and as you play with them outside. And as we sit together and learn together, our aim is to make worshipers. Because Jesus is worthy of the hosannas of children. And we need to imbibe the very heart of our Savior. And we need to do what we can with the prayer that the Spirit will make us sufficient and efficient, that out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, we may hear that perfect praise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that lies before us in this week to share with children the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy to receive all honor and all glory and all praise. And so it is our heart's desire at the start of this week that you would use us, even if in a small way, to give these children a wonderful view of the wonderful things that Jesus has done, that they might come to worship him. May you receive all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.